Listener, good morning. You are welcome to another edition of Media and Society, a weekly program on Express Radio that often discusses on a different issue as it relates to the media and society. In today's edition, we shall be discussing on what is interview and the techniques of interview. And with me to discuss on this and many more is our dual professor and personal professor, Abdallah Uba Adamu. Professor, it's good to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody.
Yes, sir. Professor, interview as a concept, what does it mean?
An interview is a conversational engagement on a particular topic between a person and another person. Rarely would you hold an interview between a person and many people. Normally, it is between one person, one-on-one. So it is a conversational engagement in which you ask questions and somebody gives you an answer. But you don't just simply ask any question. You have to ask structured, focused, relevant questions that person can only give you the answers because he's an expert, or because he was a witness, or because he was in a position to give you a technical, valid, reliable information about whatever it is that you are talking about. So an interview is a conversational engagement that deals with a particular focused activity or a particular focused or asking a particular question about something that has happened or is about to happen, or a policy that is about to be done. But it is a conversational engagement. Sometimes it is not possible to have conversational engagement with somebody. So open what they do now, because of information technology, you can send somebody an email interview. You can ask the question and send it to them, and then they will give you back the answers. But it's a conversational engagement. Whether it is vocal engagement or whether it is written engagement, it's a situation where a person asks a question and another person gives an answer.
Okay, sir, since we are talking about the media and society, how do we supposed to open a radio interview or a television interview?
It all depends on why you are asking the interview, why you are doing the interview. Normally interview people because they are in a position to give you critical information that is important to your own program or to your own feature story. So a person, for instance, who is a policy maker, is maybe a commissioner or a permanent secretary or a director or something like that, can be interviewed about the policies in his department. A person who lives in the market and sells things in the market can also be interviewed about what is happening in the market at that particular point of time. A witness can also be interviewed. I mean, maybe there's an accident and somebody saw it. You could interview him so that he will tell you what exactly happened, because he's an eyewitness. So interviews are based on the fact that there is a critical information that only that person can provide. And that critical information is what makes the news story credible. Because without that critical information, without that credibility, that information, that news story will not be credible. It will just simply be a hearsay. And the person being interviewed is not being interviewed because of his personal opinion on the issue, but because of his technical knowledge or his ethnographic presence during a particular process. Like I said, if there is an accident and somebody saw it, so you interview him because he was a living witness, he actually saw it. But you don't ask him about his opinion, whether the accident should happen or should not happen. The same thing with the director that you're asking. A director says he supervises a particular building of a particular project. You are not interviewing him to find out his personal opinions. Mm-hmm. You are interviewing him to find out the technical details of the project. Mm-hmm. So often you do interviews because interviews will elicit or will provide you with critical information that will create a credible story, credible feature story.
So, sir, is there any difference between interviewing somebody who is very prominent? That is when it comes to the issue of opening the interview. Is there any formal and informal way of introducing?
No. Maybe, okay. The way in which you approach a person you are interviewing is the same in which you approach any other person, regardless of whether you are interviewing the head of state or whether you are interviewing a messenger. It all requires fundamental rules and regulations on your own part that will make people be at ease with you. Because if you approach them in anyhow, then you are not going to get their cooperation. For instance, the first approach is to be polite, very, very polite and very respectful. Don't think about the fact that because he is a messenger or because he is a laborer or because he is a scavenger, you shouldn't respect him. Every human being deserves respect, regardless of what status he has in life. And it is the approach, the politeness and the respectfulness with which you approach the person that will enable that person to open up and give you the information that you want. So you could say, good morning, sir. My name is so-so-so. I'm from this particular media organization. And I would like to get an interview with you about something. You don't just come up to say, yo, man, what's up? You know, I want to talk to you about something. You know, you're trying to intimidate him to show that you are educated or something like that. And that might cause some kind of freezing up.
Okay.
He just freezes up and said, I don't want to talk to you. And you can't force him to talk to you. So you have to be polite and respectful. And this is a general condition for living anyway. You know, just for interview. If you want to engage with people in a conversational process, you need to be very, very polite and very respectful. That's the first starting point. And being polite and being respectful is also reflected in your clothing. Even the kind of clothes you wear will determine.
You the interviewer.
Yeah, you the interviewer. The kind of clothing you wear will determine the kind of responses you get from the person. But then it also depends on the context. Let's say you want to interview drug users. And then you come up dressed up in a suit, a black suit and so on and so forth. There's no way they're going to listen to you because they will think you are a security agent.
Okay.
Trying to infiltrate into their ranks and then arrest them. They will just be very suspicious. So you have to leave the part. You have to be ethnographic enough to be just to dress like they dress. Maybe you don't have to do what they do, but you have to dress the way they dress so that they can see you as somebody who's not a threat.
Okay.
Let's say you are interviewing the permanent secretary or commissioner or the governor or some very, very important person. You don't go dressed as a nigger or in swagger.
Okay.
They'll just kick you out. But when you go dressed in a very sober way, conservative manner, whether it is traditional African dresses or whether you're using suits, the idea is you look respectable, decent, then people will listen to you.
Yes, does a journalist need any background knowledge about the interviewee?
Yes, you do. The reason why you need that background information is because they're the only thing that will create, that will establish his qualifications to be interviewed for that thing in the first place.
Okay.
You don't just simply interview somebody about a technical process when that person doesn't know.
Okay.
So you need to have a background check. That's what they call backstory.
Okay.
You know, you need to have a background check on the person to determine that he really is in the position to be able to provide that information for you. Because when you are constructing your story, you are constructing a story that is based on facts. And you have to be aware of the fact that a lot of people who listen to your broadcast or who read your feature will rely on what you say and what you write to make a lot of decisions. And some of these decisions could be life-threatening. So that means that whoever provides information to you has to be a person who is credible enough to provide that particular information. For instance, let's say there's an outbreak of a particular disease and you want to talk to a medical personnel about it. You need to get a doctor, but not just any doctor, but a doctor whose specialty is in that particular disease control. I mean, if it is to do with cholera, for instance, you need to get somebody who is dealing with all these intestinal diseases rather than somebody who is a specialist in bones and something like that. So it is very important for you to a background check on the person you are interviewing in order to establish their credibility, to establish the fact that they are in a position where they can give you the information that you could use to become credible yourself. Because if they give you information that is not credible, you end up giving a report that is not credible. And then that might mislead to people and could lead to dangerous consequences.
Okay. Listener, don't forget you're onto the program Media and Society. And in today's edition, we are discussing with our dual professor on what is interview and the techniques of interview. You can take part by sending an SMS on 080-6528-1528. I will take that again. 080-6528-1528. Stay tuned.
Like you, just
Welcome back. Yes, Professor, must we have a basic knowledge of the topic that we are going to interview an important personality on, for instance?
You have to have at least some idea of what it is all about. I mean, you are interviewing somebody about an outbreak of a disease, then you obviously, you yourself will have to know the kind of questions you are going to ask him. Because if you don't do a basic research, and there's a difference between being deeply involved or being deeply knowledgeable about a particular topic and then having a basic, at least surface knowledge about the whole thing. Surface knowledge for which a lay person will understand. Because that's what you are doing. You are deconstructing knowledge for lay people. You are making it easier for
that's the listeners.
That's right. So you need to come down to a level where you can ask questions that at least make you knowledgeable enough for you to ask an expert on that. Let the expert give you the technical details. Let the expert talk about the techniques and all the other details that might be boring to other people, but at least he's the one who is going to talk about it, not you.
Okay.
So yes, that is why in the mass communications department, we encourage people to go and specialize in other areas. We have health communication for people who are interested in reporting about health issues. And we have environment. So you have somebody who has a degree in environmental studies, and he can come and do a postgraduate diploma in mass communication, and then he can do a master's degree in mass communication, and then he can report on environmental issues. So he is very lucky in the sense that he has a degree in environmental education, or maybe he has a degree in nursing, which has nothing to do with communication. But we now have a converter program that will enable such graduate to come and do a course in mass communication. So that means he can now become the health reporter, or he can become an environmental reporter, or an agricultural reporter, or an accounting business reporter. So you can study your BSc economics, and then suddenly you feel that you would like to become a mass communicator. So you can come and do a postgraduate diploma in mass communication, and that will give you enough skills to be able to interview people and provide picture stories about an area that you specialize in.
Okay. Yes, Professor, what are the techniques of conducting an interview?
Well, the first one we have already talked about, that is this issue of being very respectful and very polite. There's also the process of keeping the microphone very close to the person's mouth. You don't just simply talk to somebody while the microphone is far away. You end up picking up echoes or something like that. So it's probably good to use a very, very good recorder. Like Edirol is a fantastic, or Miran. These are recorders that are used by most international media organizations, very expensive. Okay. But they pick up sound very, very lively, particularly if you are going to use their sound, their voices over the air. So you need to have a very, very good tape recorder. Okay. Your phone might be a very good idea, but then your phone may not be high quality. So if you are going to use your phone to record somebody's interview, you make sure that your phone is high quality.
Okay.
You also need to put people at ease. You know, make them talk about weather, relax them so that they can feel relaxed and
create certain impressions in their mind.
And that means you should not be intimidated.
Okay.
Let's say you are interviewing a big man. Let's say Dangote, for instance, guy is the richest guy in Africa and all that. And so people feel intimidated when they are in his presence. You don't feel intimidated.
Okay, as a journalist.
Yes, as a journalist.
Okay.
But at the same time, don't get aggressive. I mean, maybe you have your own attitude. You don't like capitalism and all that. And then you come with all this attitude.
Okay.
So don't come with an attitude. Don't intimidate. Don't be intimidated. You be at ease, and your subject should also be at ease. Small talk. You begin with a small talk. How about the weather? How about the situation in the country? And so on and so forth. Create a rapport. That is what they call it. Create a rapport.
To break an ice.
Bridge.
Okay.
Yeah. Break. You know, be an ice. Use icebreakers so that you break the ice because he's suspicious of you. You are suspicious of him.
Okay.
Each one of you has his own preconceived notion about the other. Remove all those barriers and boundaries so that you create a level playing field.
Okay.
So that you and the man or the woman are on the same page. You understand each other, and then you begin to ask your question.
Yeah.
You have to maintain an eye contact. Don't keep your eyes down.
Okay.
Don't look the other way. Because when you keep your eye down, it looks like you're trying to avoid something. So you have to have an eye contact, direct eye contact, so that he can see you, you can see him, you can see his face, you can see his eyes. That way you create some sort of a rapport. that you are genuine, no matter how high place it is.
No matter how high place it is. I know that in our culture, particularly African culture generally, there is this issue of not looking directly into an older person's eyes. But as far as journalism is concerned, you have to look at his eyes directly. Because if you keep shifting your eyes away, it looks like you are trying to avoid something, you are not being truthful, and so on and so forth. So eye contact is very, very critical. And watch out for mannerisms. A lot of people have mannerisms in their speech. They use certain expressions or some certain poses, especially when they're in a formalized speech. Remember, an interview is a formalized speech. Formal because it follows a particular structure.
Okay.
It's not like a normal conversation where you can just simply say whatever you want to say. You have to be careful about what you say, so you have to weigh your words. You have to utter them very carefully so that people will really understand what you're saying. So if your interviewee, the person you're interviewing, has some mannerisms, go with the mannerisms. Like you could say, you know, that sort of, it's irritating, I know. Very, very irritating.
So you have to go by it.
Just simply say, will you shut up?
Okay.
You know, will you just stop saying, I don't know, that's why I'm here. You know, don't get annoyed, you know, don't get irritated by his mannerisms. But there are some people who do have those kind of mannerisms. And if he draws the words, I'm not sure. Don't speed him up. Say, "Dala manaka." No, just can you just get on with it? So you are not so. Just be patient. Be quiet. And if he has forgotten or he's at loss, he's trying to remember something, kickstart him by reminding him of the last word he said. Which means you have to be very, very careful as a listener. And of course, your phone should be on silent. Even it shouldn't even vibrate, so that nothing distracts you.
You the interviewer.
During the end, you the interviewer. If his phone is not silent, that's all right.
Okay.
And don't scold him. Don't say, "Will you shut up your phone? I'm trying to interview, and your phone is ringing every 5 minutes."
Okay.
Remember, you are the one who needs the information.
Yeah.
He's not the one who needs you. Need him.
Yeah.
He doesn't need you.
Yeah.
But it is your phone that has to be completely switched off,
okay.
Because there is nothing more irritating for a person being interviewed than the person interviewing him answering a phone call. I mean, like imagine he has started giving you a very, very important, technical, critical information, and then you are telling him, "Hey, hang on, I have to answer this call."
Okay.
Then he stops.
Okay.
Then after you finish your call and you say, "I'm sorry, can we continue?"
Okay.
Then you continue.
Okay.
And then 5 minutes later, your phone rings again, and then you ask him to stop.
Okay.
He's not going to stop. He'll just ask you to get the hell out of his sight.
Okay.
So you have to switch off your phone yourself completely.
Okay.
You can answer your call after the interview because he doesn't have the time.
Yeah.
You're even lucky. He is listening to you. So listen very carefully. And when I say listen carefully, I mean listen to what he says and then respond. And in fact, become part of the conversation. Because there are some cases where he may leave a sentence hanging.
Okay. Then you complete it.
Then you complete it. He says, for instance, the new democratic dispensation started in 1999. So that way you are part of the conversation. It shows you are connected to whatever he is saying. But if you just simply, because you don't know yourself, and you just simply keep quiet, then it shows that you are not really following the conversation and you are not really knowledgeable about what you are asking him about. So it is very, very important to do that. Take notes
During the interview,
because it gives an impression of activity, of dynamism, that you are dynamic, you are involved, you are engaged in doing something, and that is assuring to him that you are noting down. Look at his eyes. You know everything is being recorded, but look at his eyes, and then just simply write down a few things, because sometimes the impressions you have are very, very important. For instance, when you ask a question, was he afraid? Was he not willing to answer that particular question? Did he dodge it? Your interview will not, I mean, your recording will not tell you all those nuances. But your observation will now enable you to see his body language when you're asking him particular questions.
Okay.
And then that will determine exactly how you're going to handle it. So that way you know whether he's telling the truth or whether he's comfortable or he's very uncomfortable. So you have to take notes.
Okay.
You don't just simply fold your arms and stare at him for a whole of 1 hour. It's a little bit unnerving.
Okay.
He gets a little bit nervous. Why are you looking at me like that? Why aren't you doing anything? So you have to be dynamic yourself. You have to be active. You have to be doing things that will show that you are
shaking your body, doing
But that doesn't mean you keep shaking your head or banging the door or something like that. No, you pick up a pen and begin to write, note it down.
Okay.
Nodding your head, you know, yeah. going along with him. Because when you are talking to somebody and that person is not in their head, it means that you are on the same page. Yeah. You are communicating in the same wavelength, and that's cool because everything is great. But when you just simply stare at him and you sit down rock still because you are either too intimidated by him because he's such a big man, then you are not communicating with him effectively.
Yes, haven't heard what are these techniques of interview. Must a journalist stick at times to certain questions he maybe outline, or can he digress if need be?
It all depends. Some interviewees, that the people you're going to interview, will probably insist that you have to give them an idea of the questions you're going to ask them.
Okay.
Not everybody will just simply allow you to come and start asking him all sorts of questions. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you want to know?
Okay.
The reason is because there are some questions that could be technical,
okay.
that require figures, and he may not have these figures offhand, so he has to go and look for them in files or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There may be questions that require recollection of something that has happened maybe about 5 years ago, so you have to think about it. So some people will insist that you have to give them a copy of the interview questions. But then you can tell them that there may be sub-questions, you know, a particular question may lead to sub-question. So it is perfectly in order, because he might reveal something which was not part of the initial interview schedule. But then now you could say, oh, by the way, can I know more about this thing you just simply mentioned? So it is possible for you to sort of break off,
okay.
but don't deviate
okay.
from the entire thing. For instance, he's talking about building a school, or he's building, they are building a school, or they are making a dam, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you are asking him, and he's giving you all the details, the contractors, the amount of money, the schedule, the time they start, the time they're going to complete, environmental impact on the environment, how people reacted to this. And then suddenly you started asking him, what is your view about the match between Manchester United and Arsenal? That has nothing to do with what we are discussing, okay?
Okay.
Oh, I saw you have a yellow vehicle. Why on earth will you have a yellow vehicle?
Okay.
Why don't you get a black car?
Mm-hmm.
And that has nothing to do with you. I mean, it has nothing to do with what we are discussing. So yes, you can deviate a little bit, but keep to the focus.
Okay,
keep to the idea.
That's the point of discussion.
That's the main theme of the interview. What is the theme of the interview?
Well, Professor, I think due to our time factor, we have to draw the curtain of the program. We are very much grateful, Professor, for being with us this morning on the program Media and Society.
Thank you very much.
Listener, thank you too for being with me. Ahmad Tijan Long is the program manager, and Afisa Mursala produced the program. Until next week, I'm Mursala Elias, and goodbye.